Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Veteran communication.
Yeah, and he's got to have a point to prove. And the Rams, for all the cool stuff they do, it's pretty straightforward. These teams know each other pretty well, what they're going to get. They do a lot of cool stuff with motions, but it's not that deceptive. Like, you look at that Bills game, Puka was making catches in very tight coverage.
Yep.
Matthew Stafford was just putting it in a perfect spot. So a lot of it is just going to be being sound and playing through the ball. And Jair has physicality. Like, I think getting him in this game, you know, he's going to have a chance to make some plays, but there's every once in a while you have a play where, you know, a deep ball down the middle of the field and he doesn't quite read it right, or
right,
there's a miscommunication. So that's going to be a spot. I'd expect the Rams and Stafford to go right at him.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. We're talking with our 49er insider, Jake Hutchinson, on the scene in Santa Clara as we get ready. What is your take on the job Nick Sorensen has done this year?
It's something where assessing a defensive coordinator can be difficult, right? Because Kyle, he wants the DC to keep it simple. But part of the reason he wants this DC to keep it simple is because I don't think he trusts that Nick Sorensen is going to come up with this creative alternative that makes sense for them to go with. He wants them to go with what they started this regime with, which is four down, you know, and playing nickel increasingly. They used to play base more, but really get home with four and then just play sound coverage behind it. And so I do think there is an MO of let's be simple, let's just be sound in what we do. But also, if you did have a defensive coordinator who is a little bit more proven and who you did trust to maybe scheme some things up, I think you would do that. So Sorensen has not proved much. And then that 12-man on the field penalty, I think you see that and then you go, all right, well, if you're not going to prove anything and you're only going to have this one lingering penalty that's all in our collective consciousness, it's hard to say he's having a good year, right? I'm not going to say he's been terrible. He definitely hasn't been great. He's had some good moments, called some nice stunts at key times, but it's hard to say he's been better than okay.
And how much do you mitigate that based on all the injuries they've had and also the reality that he's never been a coordinator before and the importance of continuity in that role? Mark and I were talking about this before. If he switches coordinators, that'll be coordinator number 5 next year in 9 years.
Yeah, it's something where their personnel, I think, on defense has been pretty shoddy. Like, I think it goes back to all those drafts, right, in 2021 and 2022, and they just missed so much that, you know, guys that they would have had, you know, in the pipeline to step up for, like, Dre Greenlaw getting hurt. You know, guys on the defensive front, they have, like, no defensive tackles. You know, Evan Anderson is large, but that's his number one trait. Like, they haven't replaced...
He got a cool helmet, too.
Yeah, he does. He's got that chunky, squishy helmet. I almost wore one outside today when I was crossing over the parking lot.
It'd be if they sold Guardian umbrellas, right? Just attach it to your head so it's not blocking anyone behind you. You'd buy that.
Yeah. Stay warm under there.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Hey, We're not getting a lot of info right now on Trent Williams. It's exciting that these other three guys are back. He's not. What's going on?
Yeah, I think it's Trent. I think last year had the ankle sprain, and I think it was Chris Foerster, the offensive line coach, run game coordinator, who talked about it. Like, Trent is, he's getting older, and he's not recovering from things as quickly as he used to. And when you get up there and you are a large guy, and he did play through it, he gutted through it for that one game, and clearly it aggravated it. I think it's something where they're like, all right, well, we have to prove to ourselves and to Trent Williams that it's worth him coming back. And I think if you win against the Rams, then we'll start looking at, all right, and next week, maybe we get Trent back into the fold. It will be interesting. Just, you know, does he come back next week if they lose? I kind of doubt it. I think if they lose this game, and that's pretty much the season for all intents and purposes, I'd be surprised if he comes back. If they win, I wouldn't be surprised to see him. So that's kind of how I'm looking at it.
And similarly, like Dre Greenlaw, I think, is maybe a little bit different because he wants to play his way back into favor. And even if they lose tonight, wouldn't you think that he'd want to keep playing to be more attractive in the free agent market too?
No question. I mean, I remember it was a month or two ago, and this is like well before there's even, Kyle has given us a timeline on Greenlaw returning, and he's throwing the ball around to Fred Warner, and I see him go up one-handed and catch one and land, and Warner's like, whoa, slow down. So he's been itching to be out there for a while, and I think regardless of where they're at, he wants to prove that he's not going to be the same player. That's just how Achilles work. That first year, there's no question you're not going to be the same player. But I think he wants to prove that he is still a capable player and that, you know, he's got a place on this team and in the league, and the energy that he brings can elevate this defense.
I'm going to admit that this is not capturing the tone of the moment. We've got a big game tonight, and that is first and foremost, obviously. However, I feel like asking, where do things sit with the larger Brock Purdy issue, and how do they avoid having another long summer of rumors and frustration?
Yeah, I think there's two questions there. There's like the price tag, which if you're going to pay him, you're going to pay him, and you're going to get raked over, you know, whatever it is. It's just going to be rough.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Like, that's what the quarterback price tag is. It's going to be like $60 million. Like, that's just what the market is, and I know people will say, well, how many teams would bid for him and whatever. It's something that you don't really want to test. This is the guy that Kyle Shanahan has trusted more than, truly the only quarterback he's really trusted in his 49ers tenure. No question about it. And we saw, I was there with all the awkward Jimmy stuff, and those guys didn't like each other that much. It's not that they have like a disdain, but they didn't get along all that well, and they just stuck it out because they sort of had to. Brock he trusts. Brock he believes in elevating the offense, and so I do think that they will get something done. In order to avoid all of the stupid stuff that they do, they have to realize they're not winning. They used to be obsessed with like winning these deals, and we're going to take it to the end of the summer, and we're going to get the price we paid, and it worked for a while. And then Nick Bosa got his money, and then they had all these players who were like, you have to pay us. I'm Trent Williams. You're not going to do anything this season if you don't have me. Christian McCaffrey, what are you going to do without me? Clearly not that much. So with Brock Purdy, he can make the same argument, and I think they're going to want to get that deal done earlier rather than later.
And do you think that the front office has, quote, learned its lesson from this year where Ayuk held in and that didn't work out, and Trent held out and that didn't work out, and McCaffrey's injury notwithstanding, but you paid him and then he wasn't ready to go until week 8. Has Parag Marate in the front office realized that there's another way to go about it?
I would hope so. I would hope so. That's all I can say. I don't know how they look at it day to day, but if I'm them, I don't want my star quarterback lingering. And if you do the thing where, you know, a lot of people propose, all right, just draft a rookie or you make him play on that last year, Brock Purdy should not play next season unless they pay him.
Right.
He's been playing for basically free in NFL terms for 3 years and at a very, very high level. If I was him, I would honestly sit out if they didn't put the deal on the table. So if I'm the 49ers front office, I try and get my business done early. Have they learned their lesson? I guess we'll all find find out and be pretty miserable if they show they haven't.
No doubt. Our 49er insider, Jake Hutchinson, is with us. I wish everybody in Radio Land could have just seen the look on your face when Dibs, you asked him, have they learned the lesson? And yes, there is some factor of I don't know in there, we'll find out. But what your facial expression also said to me, and I don't know how many people know this, that's a stubborn group of people that you're asking, did they learn their lesson? That is a high-level, stubborn group. And so I know it seems like, well, I'm sure they did. I'm not sure at all, Jake.
No, I'm with you. Kyle is as stubborn as they come.
And Parag might be even more.
No question about it. And they try and get to that number. But and I get it. You want to get the right number, especially if you're going to pay a quarterback. All I'm saying is get those negotiations started early. Like, put the numbers on the table. They love to wait and try and make things uncomfortable. I don't think you're going to do that with a quarterback.
Hey, what if this does happen, and if it's 50, 60, whatever, doesn't matter, give us some names who might be gone because of it.
I think they've set themselves up where this offseason they could get rid of Debo. They could post June 1st cut Debo for some cap space. They set it up. They just restructured Javon Hargrave's deal where they can post June 1st him. So those are two guys. I think Charvarius Ward, they have this thing where he's going to cost $13 million on the cap whether they have him or not. I mean, they've got some good young corners. I wonder if he's probably gone after this year. So those are three guys on this team I look at. I think they're probably going to end up having to have some talks with Kittle about an extension, give him a little bit more money and restructure it a little bit like McCaffrey, because he's the one guy that's played out of his gourd and deserves it. So and they have not been able to draft a tight end or get a backup that's even remotely capable. So I think Hargrave, Ward, Debo could be guys out.
What would the Debo number be if they did post June 1st release him? How much would that hurt them in the cap?
He would only cost like $10 million in dead cap next year if they post June 1 him, and they'd save about $5 or $6 million. So there's an argument that he just stays anyway because they're not going to save that much cap space by cutting him. That said, given what you saw this season, I almost feel like just a clean slate moving on might be better, might be cathartic for everybody involved. But again, Debo's been Kyle's favorite player. They have a very tight relationship. So that'll be interesting to see. I think these next, you know, however many games might help determine that.
Getting back to tonight, if you are Nick Sorensen, what kept you up at night all week long with that Rams offense?
The fact that you might play sound defense and you might play tight coverage and they still might be.
Yeah.
Because that's what I saw with the Bills. It was just the amount of catches that Puka Nacua makes that no one has any business making.
He's so good.
He's unbelievable, and they funnel everything through him, and Cooper Kupp's solid, and when Stafford is playing well, there's truly not much you can do to stop him if you can't get pressure. So getting pressure is the one thing without blitzing, because he's somehow great against the blitz and terrible when under pressure. So it's like get four and get home with it. If you can do that, you have a good chance. But if you give him time, it could be rough.
To the point you're making, is Nick Bosa playing with a full deck tonight?
I don't think so. I think the fact that, you know, he barely practiced last week, he was quote-unquote limited in the one. They didn't practice this week at all.
Right.
I wouldn't be shocked if they rotate him and almost use him as just like a third down rotational guy, you know, play him 20 snaps or something. That said, you know, we've seen what happens when Christian McCaffrey came back from injury, and Kyle Shanahan can be a lunatic. He can just be a maniac and say, all right, well, he's good to go. He's going full bore. So that's how I see it. It's either going to be like 20 snaps or he's just going to play a bunch.
Jake Hutchinson, thanks for coming by, bud.
Great stuff. Yeah, it's nice to get warm in here.
Hang out. The game doesn't start for an hour, so you can hang out if you want. All right, great stuff. And now your turn. 888-957-9570 is the number. The Greenlaw thing, I think, is exciting for everybody. But can we also, especially since Jake just talked about it, slightly overblown, he said, the idea of Brock Purdy in a wet football? I want to know from you listening out there, especially if you're on your way in right now. It is still dry. It's dry outside right now. But when you hear Brock Purdy and a wet football, what do you think? What do you think? Is that something that makes you nervous? Is it overblown? We can take some calls on that, get into more on this football game. 888-957-9570 is the number. Special shout to those of you on your way into the game. Give us a buzz. We're live on the scene at the Hilton, and this is the kickoff show brought to you by Habas Law. It's Willard and Dibbs.
To Willard and Dibbs.
That's a great question.
It's a great question.
That's a great question.
On 95.7 The Game.
Wait a minute.
Is that Roxy?
Who was that? Who doubled back?
That was the great Andrew Filippone in Pittsburgh.
The pony. That's right.
Yeah, I think Ayuk is still on his way to Pittsburgh.
Oh, they might as well be. Is that where his doctor is?
They're at the goal line, exactly.
Good Lord. They did end up getting a receiver. They got Mike Williams from the New York Jets.
Yep.
He was right all along. Anyway, Willard and Dibbs, Habas Law is bringing you our kickoff show as we count you down and get you ready. Niners and Rams tonight. Dibbs says it's a must win. I think he's crazy because they play again in Miami next week, even if they don't win this one.
Yep.
But no, obviously you're right. We got action. If they win, we don't. If they lose, it's that simple. And you know this, it is the annoying way that my brain works, which is I buy in to what ifs. I buy into what ifs even when they sound absurd. And so I'm not about to tell you the Niners can go to the Super Bowl. We don't even need to have a conversation like that right now. But listen to what Hutch just told us, Dibs. If you go from Greenlaw's back, Bosa is back, if you win tonight, you get a mini bye, and you go to Miami next week, and maybe Trent Williams is back, I really think tonight is such a springboard. And if Dre Greenlaw can ramp himself up quickly, and I love the idea, this background that was just given to us, that Dre probably thinks he has essentially been ready for a while. He's been champing at the bit. And tonight's the night. Will he look perfect? No. Will he play all the plays? No. But within 2 to 3 weeks, could he be a pretty solid form of Dre Greenlaw? And what could that mean for what we're looking at? That's why I think tonight is so important, and the Dre Greenlaw activation is so important, because, Dibs, this really could be a springboard to yet another Kyle Shanahan December run.
Could be. And, you know, I'm looking at it right now, the email that came in about 3 hours ago. And the following player has been activated from the PUP list, number 57, Dre Greenlaw. Seeing that reminds me that it was 10 months and one day ago when they played the Super Bowl, and he was trying to just, I don't know, run on the field to go play defense, and pop, and he's down, and Fred is beside himself with grief, and the Niner D was never the same. They lose, and here we are 10 months later. So you think about what it could mean. Yeah, you win, and he, no matter how he looks, it doesn't even matter. If you win and Bosa emerges unscathed, and then you go to Miami 10 days later, and yeah, maybe Trent is feeling better about coming back and playing, his ankle, his family situation. No one would ever possibly think about rushing him, and I certainly would never judge him based on what he's going through, which is unimaginable. I can't even fathom that sort of personal pain, but you get to 7-7, and if you do get Trent back, and Dre's a little bit better, and Bosa comes out uninjured, all of a sudden you might have something.
Absolutely. Now, I'm glad you brought up 10 months one day ago, because that is exactly when Fred Warner made these comments. Listen to this now. This is Fred Warner 10 months ago, and then we're going to have Fred Warner this week. And listen closely to not only what he says, but the tone in his voice as he says all of it. This is after the Super Bowl, Fred Warner.
Sick to my stomach. I'm still sick. I see him at halftime, and I'm crying because I'm so hurt for him, and obviously wanted to win this for him, and sickening.
Okay, so there's the words, but there's the tone.
Oh man, the voice.
He
cried at halftime.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't because he couldn't go out and see Usher. Might have been part of it.
Good
show.
Yeah, but like, football is so emotional. I really think emotions, and I know no one wants to hear this because it's just not manly enough and not what fans want to think about, and I get that. I totally get that. But emotions have been such a big part of this season. Whether you want to call them the overwhelming nature of the Super Bowl hangover, the injury to Dre Greenlaw, the injury to Christian McCaffrey, what happened to Charvarius Ward's daughter, what happened to the Trent Williams family, Ricky Pearsall preseason. Emotions have just crushed this team, and there's no way to quantify exactly what that means, but the idea that Trent Williams could play in 10 days, the idea that Charvarius Ward is back on the field, the idea that Dre Greenlaw is back on the field, Ricky Pearsall is back on the field. Here's what Fred Warner said just this week about getting Dre back.
That means everything. You know, I've been waiting for that moment for the entire season, right? And so potentially have him out there again with me, it means everything.
I mean, there is just honesty there, and I think he is buoyed by what's about to happen, and I can't wait to see. Again, you just said it. It may not matter how many tackles Dre gets, but 57 on the field?
Right.
I don't need to tell the Niners if they want to introduce the offense or the defense tonight. It's the defense, obviously.
Yeah. I don't even know if, do they do that in regular garden variety home games? Do they introduce and have guys run out?
That's normally run through the run. Yeah, but they
usually for playoff games, I think.
No, they used to do it every single game. They would pick one side of the ball and have the intros where the guys would run through the tunnels of the cheerleaders and out onto the field.
Yeah, I don't know if they do that anymore. 888-957-9570 if you have the answer to that.
I don't know.
That growing quandary.
I've been to a couple games this year, and maybe I'm just imagining that that's the way they do it.
Yeah, usually by the time I get in there, it's after the show.
That's fair. That's fair. Maybe that's why.
A little bit of the pregame.
Anyway, they used to do that.
And it doesn't even matter. As soon as Dre Greenlaw's out there or involved in a play, the crowd's going to go bananas. And, you know, I can imagine a pass play or a run play where, you know, you get Dre Greenlaw and Fred both in on a tackle and Kyron Williams is stuffed for a loss or maybe it's no gain at the line of scrimmage and Dre and Fred both get up off the pile and they give each other a big high five. The crowd's going to go bananas.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I wonder, and in fact, you can weigh in on that. What does it mean to you that Dre Greenlaw is going to be back in this game tonight? 888-957-9570. I'm getting text messages that says they do. That
okay.
The 49ers still do this. That they absolutely still do this. And you pick one side of the ball, and you intro the players, and they come out onto the field. And again, I don't even know if Dre Greenlaw is technically a starter tonight, but I would make him one.
Yeah.
I'd make him one so that he can have that moment. This building needs that. And believe me, everything that's been awful about this season, tonight cannot fix it, but tonight can set a new course. Or it can be a brick wall and there's no course at all. I couldn't be more excited about this game and the fact that Dre Greenlaw is a part of it. They sort of picked the perfect game to do it because this is sort of, it feels like it's the boys to men end of the road as far as this particular era. And I don't mean that in terms of
right, Super Bowl or bust is what you mean.
No, I just mean the first half of this season and all the headaches that came. I think that 49er fans can readjust and chart a new course if they win tonight. If not, frustration overload the rest of the way.
Well, you'd be 6-8, and you know you'd be looking in a spot where even if you ran the table, you would need a significant amount of help at 9-8. You win 7-7, you don't control your own destiny, but you're in a much better spot. And when you go to Miami a week from Sunday, that's going to be a tough game. They're playing much better. Tua's healthy, and their offense is starting to hum a little bit, and they're going to be in a similar amount of desperation in their own right.
Yeah, my friend Jay just texted, and I forgot this is what they do. They introduce the players by yelling out only their first name, and then the crowd yells the last name.
Gotcha.
So crowd, Dre.
It's Greenlaw.
Greenlaw.
It's
yeah,
Greenlaw.
Got the right answer.
It's
right, good answer.
It's Greenlaw, in case you forgot. It's been 10 months.
Good answer.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, Lucas.
That'd be amazing if they were like, Green, Dre, Bond, Green. But I don't think that's going to happen. So anyway, there's that side to it, and then there's what we were also talking about earlier. You got any concerns with Brock Purdy and a wet football? Whenever there is a rain in the forecast, I got at least a few buddies who fire me a text and go, this isn't going to go well. Brock Purdy and a wet ball.
I do have concerns, but I don't tonight, because if you look at the sky right now, there's no rain clouds.
It's actually breaking up a little bit.
Right, and the whole idea of rain, we did have a little bit of light drizzle earlier in the show, but beyond that, I'm looking at the sky right now, and I'm not seeing much of a threat of rain, but...
Well, I'm looking at the... I just got your new update here, and it says that rain is coming potentially around 4:45, 15 minutes from now. I'm going to call BS by looking at that sky.
Right.
But more importantly, look at how much it's opened up for potentially no rain at all during game time.
Just a little bit at 6:30 and a touch at 8.
A little spritzer.
Yeah, nothing. And just a reminder to people out there, if there's a 40% chance of rain, that means...
Any rain.
For 40% of the area is what it means. It doesn't mean that...
I still don't know if I agree with you on that.
I don't know, care if you agree or not.
And I'm not saying
I'm
you
just,
care.
You know, I'm
no,
just
but
saying,
when you said that
facts.
Last time, we got 47 texts who were like, Dibs is wrong.
No, and then we got 38 that also said I was right.
That's not true. So, you don't see the text line.
The majority of the text line is not for me.
And that's fine. I'm just telling you. I don't know if that's right, but it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because even if you are, even if I'm right, let's say it's 40% chance that rain actually comes out of the sky, like a few drops means rain came out of the sky.
Sure.
And that's not going to affect a football game.
And again, you're looking at your app about Santa Clara.
I am.
And Santa Clara is not endemic to this piece of property. Santa Clara is a pretty big city. So if you want to talk about rain in one side of town as opposed to this side of town, it can rain in one part of Santa Clara but not here, which is...
That's of course true.
40% chance of rain.
40% chance.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, it's this area of Santa Clara, that area of Santa Clara. Yeah, I would say right now, it's a little bit of optimism for anybody who was worried about rain coming out of the sky tonight. But bottom line is 49er fans have already been overwhelmed by what feels like excuses. And I'll say that, look, the Niners haven't asked for any. I don't think the Niners have cried foul or complained about anything. But this is, it's classic kind of put up or shut up time. And so whether it's injuries, whether it's rain, whether it's the brilliance of Puka Nacua and Matthew Stafford, as I said earlier in the week, especially for those like Nick Sorensen, who have not got cement around their feet yet in terms of their standing within this organization, tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. Tonight's the night that you either show that you have another pitch or not. Or you go 6-8 and you play meaningless football for the rest of the year.
Most likely. And, you know, to your greater question about Brock Purdy, I do have concerns about Brock Purdy and a wet football. There have been enough incidents, in my opinion, where that's been a thing to where I do have some concerns. But, again, I don't think that it's necessarily going to be an issue tonight as, you know, we look at the forecast. And even if it does rain a little bit, it's when it gets really, really rainy. That's where you start to have real issues.
Okay, we've got a few things to get through as we get a little bit closer to game time. Also, still ahead, Greg Cosell, if you missed that really good, meaty breakdown of the game yesterday, we'll have that coming up around the corner. More Warriors talk a little bit later on in the show as well. But you know what we need to do? You know what we need to do?
I've been waiting for this all day. All week, actually.
I mean, this one should count for two. This is Thursday night football, and it's a 49er game.
And we're here.
So you are three times right now contractually required to fade. And your name is the Dibbers.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it, you make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
Dibs, we would like to send out a Christmas card to Ja'Marr Chase for flying down the right sideline on Monday night to knock you back down under 500 where you rightfully belong.
What about the bum who staggered into the punt? He was the guy, the cowboy who had the temerity, he had the chutzpah to try to pick up a ball he had no business touching.
I will speak for all of our audience and say I have no idea what temerity means. Let's get back to this game.
Balls.
You are 20-21. The line is 3. Niners minus 3. Dan?
Well, this one, to me, is an easy one. And it's, you know, it's my most confident pick of the week. And I know that the Rams are coming in hot, having hung 40-plus on the Bills. But they also gave up 40-plus. And the Niners, they're coming in off a very easy win. One of their only Ottoman wins of the year. And the emotions of getting Dre Greenlaw back. And the impact of getting Nick Bosa back. Isaac Grendo is good to go. He's going to play. The Rams are good, but Shanahan tends to have McVay's number.
Ah, crap.
I'm sorry, Niner fans. All of you, who think that I
this is depressing.
Am wrong so often.
You are.
You know what's going to happen tonight?
Oh, crap.
The 49ers.
Say the other thing. Just surprise
the faithful.
Us.
The other team.
The faithful will rise up as one.
Ah, crap.
Take the 49ers and lay the 3.
Cuckoo.
Dips.
That's my bit. Stop clapping. No one's happy.
I
pick the Niners, and literally no one is happy. Maybe Dre Greenlaw's mom.
Niners win 24-20. Cuckoosh. Brandy, thank you.
All right.
You gonna fade me? I don't bet against my own team.
I'm going to fade you. And by the way, don't do that. I go
so
with you
I'm
sometimes.
Fading, and I want y'all to fade with me.
No. Was last Thursday night Lions-Packers? Last Thursday night, right?
Yeah.
And what did I do?
I nailed that one.
And what did I do?
Did you ride with me?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Well, you didn't. You had made the pick.
I had already made the pick.
I
knew the Packers plus 3.5 was the pick. And then you made the pick with, you came with me. Not the other way around.
I didn't know
you were riding these coattails, brother. Anyway.
You know what you need to do? Just take the Niners and lay the 3.
Just watch the game and have a good time.
Dibs, by the way, when you pick the Niners as a favorite, you are 2-4 this year.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, at least they're not 0-4, so like it's possible. You picked them to cover against the Bears.
That's one of my wins.
And
I was trying
did.
To think about the other one. Oh, the
and
Jets in the opener the must have been the other one.
Well, okay. Last time we were here for a primetime game, you were right.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Whatever. Luis and Hercules wants to talk to us now.
Oh, boy.
Hi, Luis. Thanks for calling Willard and Dibs.
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen? How are you guys doing?
Dude, we're great. I'm not as good as I was 5 minutes ago, but we're great.
Well, Dibs picked stink, so there's that as well. But anyway, I have a take for you guys.
Okay,
so you guys talk about the Warriors and Draymond experience, right? So how come Debo doesn't get the Debo experience? The guy is a diva. He likes to, you know, make these, you know, convoluted, tweets, and I mean, he's not playing good at all. But to be fair, he should get some of the doubt because he actually was once a workhorse in the Niners offense. And that's just kind of my take. Also, a secondary take, I think Brock Purdy is the perfect system quarterback, but he's never going to get you over that hump because there are other elite quarterbacks just kind of just above him. That's not a bad thing, but it's just that's kind of my take on that.
Yeah,
so
you know,
I'll hear you guys
know,
off the air. You guys
yeah,
all...
for sure. All right, Luis, thanks. Those are interesting takes, and I think the background or the premise of them probably has some truth. Let's break this apart first. Debo is the Draymond experience. I feel like if you're saying it's like a very, very diet version of it, maybe, and maybe this year for the first time, to me, the Draymond experience is much more intense than the Debo thing. Like, what do we really have on Debo? Debo once wiped Instagram.
Yep.
Debo shoved off the head of the long snapper, and the head coach said the long snapper was the one who overreacted. And Debo tweeted something that he probably shouldn't tweeted, but it wasn't really that bad. So I get it. There's a lot of frustration surrounding the guy right now. I don't know that it's actually that intense.
No, I wouldn't buy it either. I don't think it's that intense, but I do think it's a little bit of a bad look. And I don't know if you can compare any player to Draymond and the Draymond experience.
Right.
I mean, what Draymond has done, and put aside all the great things he's done on the court for the sake of this discussion, but, you know, punching a teammate versus face-washing the long snapper,
yep,
not even close. Getting suspended multiple times for on-court acts of violence is too strong. Aggressiveness. Debo's never had that. Debo did get involved in
Cleveland. It was in Cleveland last year.
Like,
yeah,
a pregame brawl.
Yeah, he got into a little scuffle, and actually,
yeah,
do you remember? But do you remember? And this was shown in the Netflix documentary. There was the sound of the referee, the head ref, after that happened, went over to Debo,
yeah,
and was like, "I need you to calm your side down."
Because
was like, "I know your reputation around this league is fantastic."
Yeah.
So I need you to be my guy right now and calm those guys down. That speaks to his reputation around the league being, I don't know, sort of the opposite of the Draymond experience.
Exactly. So I don't think that that's a fair comp. Now, it's interesting what Hutch was saying about, you know, your question about the roster. If you do pay Brock, what do we do next year? And one of the first names he mentioned was Debo. And I didn't realize that the dead cap hit was going to be that small after the Debo restructure.
The restructure makes it harder, but not that much harder.
Yeah.
It's still a doable deal.
Well, honestly, I mean, Charvarius Ward, when you look at the way the other corners have played, he becomes more expendable. And, you know, Ayuk, you can't really cut because his number is still too high. The Kittle restructure makes sense, but, you know, something we talked about even before the season was, what are you going to do about the receiver position going forward with Ayuk and Pearsall and Jawan and Debo?
There's like no way it doesn't remain a question into the offseason,
yeah,
I think, especially with Brandon being gone. All right, he asked about Brock Purdy as well. We will answer that coming up next. He said he's never going to get the 49ers over the top, even though he's good. I think we would love to hear people talk on that. Where is your confidence in Brock Purdy? Especially now as we get late in the season, it's a little damp out here in Santa Clara on a Thursday night in a must-win. Where's your confidence in Brock? We can take some calls on that. I know we want to weigh in. 888-957-9570, and we'll do that next. It is time for Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society San Francisco Bay Area. The Warriors made, count them up, 12 three-pointers last night. That's good enough. It means another donation from Pettinelli to the Autism Society San Francisco. That's the third donation of the season for Triples for Autism. Steph and Buddy Hield led the way for the Warriors from beyond the arc. Each guy had three threes. To make a donation to Autism yourself or to get involved, go to sfautismsociety.org. That was Triples for Autism, brought to you by Pettinelli Financial Partners and the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Pettinelli is here for you, offering financial guidance and support throughout life's milestones. Go to PettinelliFP.com. All right, heading into the final stretch as we get close to the start of this game and looking to talk it out about Brock Purdy. Where does your confidence sit now? 888-957-9570 is the number. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. This is Willard and Dibbs.
Let's go beat the Niners, huh? Let's go. Rams on 3, 1, 2, 3.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Bleep you, Stafford.
Come on.
Seriously, dude. Enough out of you. You guys could win a Super Bowl, and you won't even have a parade because there's not enough people who care. It's Willard and Dibbs. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibbs, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you find your favorite podcast. While you're there, subscribe to our other shows. They're both fancy and wonderful. Steiny and Goo, Bonte and Joe, and everybody reacting to yet another Warrior collapse late last night. But We have dusted ourselves off, and we're ready now for 49er football. There is a little precipitation.
Yeah.
A little precipitation that has now started as we get close to kickoff. Where do you sit in terms of it's been an odd year? Now there's a little rain coming out of the sky. There's a losing record. There's all of these things baked into Brock Purdy going into a contract extension year. Where do you sort of sit in terms of your confidence of him and his position with the team?
He's him, and he's getting paid. To me, none of this has changed anything about Brock Purdy. And when I look back at the year and why they're 6-7, and you can look at injuries, well, that's football. You could look at personal tragedy, that's humanity, that's life. And it's been unusually bad for the 49ers. I haven't tracked every team and their own family situations.
Right.
But I look at why the Niners are 6-7, and you can look at 10 plays that they basically flubbed up.
Like, did you actually count them up? 10 plays?
No, but
you're ballparking.
In all my notes,
okay.
And I've gone through my notes, and the one was the Ram game where they blew 5 plays just in that
totally
game.
Like the Moody kick, the bell drop,
the five play parlay.
Yeah,
and so if you look at 10 plays that they absolutely screwed up, if they don't screw those up, they're probably 9-4 right now.
Yeah,
so,
but that's sports, right? Like, what would
sports,
the Warriors?
Man.
Yeah, what would the Warriors be if they, in like 4 games this year, had scored, I don't know, a bucket
right
in the last 90 seconds?
And that's sports. So
yeah.
It's a long way for me to say none of those things has gotten me off of Brock Purdy, because the way he's played, he hasn't been as good as last year, but he's been good, and he's been playing through whatever he's been playing through. That's football. He hasn't had the weapons around him that he would like to have. That's football. And yet, he still is smart. He makes good decisions. He showed us this year that he can do a lot with his legs. And he hasn't really played you out of any games.
Yeah.
He's kept you in games. Buffalo is a different story.
The Kansas City game was bad. That was a bad performance by Brock Purdy. I thought the worst performance I've ever seen him have. But, like, it's not like I walked out of that game going, if Brock Purdy is a little bit better, they win that football game. They got outclassed in that game on a number of fronts.
Yeah, Kansas City's a very good defense, and I look at the totality of Brock, just Brock this year. If last year was a 100 out of 100, and it was pretty damn close,
yeah.
Guy was top 5 in the MVP. If last year was the baseline for absolute excellence, this year's probably been an 80 or an 85.
Okay, I mean, the question that was thrown out there from the phone lines, or not the question, it was a statement, which is Brock Purdy's really good, think he should be the quarterback of the 49ers, but he's never going to get you over the top, because when he gets to the end, there's always going to be a better quarterback waiting there. I think this is interesting, and I want to address that. There's some people on the phones that want to weigh in. We want to do that, too. I would just briefly put it this way. I think that's a little bit of an oversimplification. I'm not going to deny that if Brock does go back to Super Bowls at some point in his life, there is likely to be a Mahomes or a Josh Allen or a Lamar Jackson or whatever waiting for him there. Likely, not definitely, but likely to be waiting for him. But that doesn't automatically mean that you don't win. Like, even if Brock Purdy someday, we look back on in his career, and he does do Brad Johnson type things. He's better than Brad Johnson.
Right.
But my point,
I get
being,
your point.
Right? Like, if he does come out of that with one bowl or two bowls in a 15-year career, and you're like, he's not elite, but he's good, there's room for that in the NFL. You don't just win because your QB's better.
Right.
You have an edge, but you don't automatically win.
It's funny because I was just looking back at every Super Bowl going back in time, and does the better quarterback always win? Well, last Super Bowl, Mahomes over Purdy, winner. Mahomes over Hurts, winner. Stafford beats Burrow. I think you'd say Stafford's
winner,
better.
Winner in the large view, yes.
Brady over Mahomes.
Wash, I guess.
Mahomes over Garoppolo.
Definitely.
Then you get to Brady over Goff. And then you get to, would that be Foles over Brady?
Foles over Brady.
So that's the last one that you can clearly so say the better quarterback didn't win.
Right, but that's a perfect example, and I'm never going to call Brock Purdy Nick Foles, but to say, man, he's never going to get you over the top, because once he gets there, then, you know, God is waiting for him. Well, you know what? Sometimes the elves beat Santa.
Yeah.
Like Nick Foles versus Tom Brady, and Nick won. And Nick, like, ran Philly special and scored. Like, he was incredible in that game. So
a bit of an anomaly, because if you keep going back, you've got Brady over Matt Ryan, although that was Shanahan's fault, as we know.
Big time.
Denver over Carolina, that was Manning
Cam Newton. But Peyton Manning was broken and terrible by then.
Right.
Cam Newton was the MVP of the league.
Brady over Russ. Russ over, was that? That wasn't Elway in 2013, was it?
No. That was against Denver?
Yeah. Seattle boat raced Denver 43-8.
They had moved
not
quarterback.
Brock Osweiler.
No. Was it still Peyton Manning? Was Peyton already there?
No, I don't think so. I'll look it up.
I don't remember who the hell quarterback that game for the Broncos.
Bobby Brister?
No.
Anyway.
All right, well, you're looking that up. Let's go to Fozzie in the East Bay. Hey, Fozzie. Yeah, Peyton Manning. Yeah. Fozzie, what's going on? What are you doing, dude? Fozzie?
Dibs made his pick.
Okay. We got you.
Yeah, Dibs made his pick, and I'm making dinner, and I go, oh, no.
Exactly.
So, you know what? I hope
you're right, Dibs. And you know what? Nobody's going to be fading you tomorrow if you're right. But to answer your question real quick, look, Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy, to me, they both come hand in hand. All right? I believe in Brock just as much as I believe in Kyle. So if Kyle's cooking, Brock is cooking, you know, that's the meat and potatoes right there. Brock and Kittle get you some veggies going with Garendo. Then what? Some hot sauce is Juwan Jennings. And we have a full course meal, baby.
Fozzie, you are clearly hungry, man. Go eat that meal. Thank you for the call. Look, I buy that, but it's sort of often pitched as some sort of a slight to everybody involved, where it's kind of like, oh, Kyle needs Brock, and Brock needs Kyle, and they need Christian, and this person needs Brandon or Debo or whatever. And I'm like, that is the sauce. Like, when you leave ingredients out, it's not going to taste as good. But I would encourage everybody, if you want, I'm not telling you got to do this before you have an opinion. You're allowed to have any opinion, but do some Brock Purdy tape diving if you want. Like, and you don't need to have access to the league or whatever. Like, search around on NFL.com and go to some of the social media stuff, the content that the Brian Baldingers of the world put out there. And what you will see, in my opinion, is that Brock Purdy, while not Josh Allen, while not Patrick Mahomes, there are elite things, and I'm not saying he does them on every play, but there are elite things that Brock Purdy does. There are throws, there is footwork, there is base, there is delivery, processing, accuracy. It's not all the time, but he does it a lot. He has some things in his holster that most quarterbacks in the NFL don't have. And for me, that's all you can really ask. Sure, you can dream for Lamar Jackson. That would be fun. Not everybody gets Lamar. Not everybody gets Patrick. To me, it's almost offensive to say good enough. But he is. He's definitely good enough and more.
Well, and ultimately, it doesn't come down to just the quarterback. We all want to make it about the quarterback. Is the quarterback good enough to win a Super Bowl? Yes or no? Nick Foles is a great example. He won a Super Bowl with Philadelphia. End of career. That's going to pretty much do it for his time as an NFL starter. And they were able to win. He was able to win because he was playing great, and they as a team played great. And that ultimately is where all of this, for me, falls short. Only 34 quarterbacks have ever won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I bet right now, it's just because of the way our dreaming minds work. If we said, hey, Brock Purdy is the 49er quarterback for the next, I don't know, call it what? 10 years.
Yeah.
And he wins one, would you take it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Like, understand, like, think of some of the quarterbacks you're talking about. You're talking about the Aaron Rodgerses of the world, right? The Brett Favres of the world. Like, these are, you can be minted as elite, as great, as an all-time great with one.
Yeah.
With one. You can do that. And in fact, you probably can be minted that even without one. Certain guys have been.
Yeah.
I mean, Philip Rivers will be in the Hall of Fame.
Dan Marino is
Dan Marino, Matt Ryan. These guys have numbers that are up there in the top 10 in quarterbacking. So, I don't know, man. He's got a shot at a long career. I think he's got the backing of an organization. And I definitely think there's at least one out there for him someday.
Well, you would hope. And it depends on the system and the structure and all the rest of it. And the assumption would be that Shanahan would also be here for 10 more years. I think, because if Brock Purdy doesn't have Shanahan or Shanahan doesn't have Brock Purdy, it hurts both of their chances, because it seems to me that the two are a perfect marriage. Shanahan wants a quarterback who sees it and gets it, and that's Brock's number one skill, is when he gets out there and he breaks the huddle, he can dissect the defense, and in real time, he's got that quick decision-making ability to decipher what's going on and then get to the right read, which is something that his predecessor, Jimmy Garoppolo,
who's here tonight? He's here tonight.
Sure is.
Jimmy in the building. I mean, you heard Hutch just said it to us, Jake Hutchinson, our Niner insider, a little bit ago. Brock Purdy is the only quarterback that Kyle Shanahan has ever had as a head coach who he trusts.
Yeah, totally trusts.
It's actually crazy to think about. Kyle's been in the league for a long time, and I'm sure he's trusted many as an offensive coordinator. Matt Ryan, at least as a minimum, he was an MVP under Kyle Shanahan. But certainly with the 49ers, this is the first quarterback he trusts. And if you've coached somewhere for 7 years, and you have been everywhere except for the mountaintop, and you have someone you trust for the first time in your career, what's that worth to you? I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know what he's going to get, and in the end, I don't even really care. He's going to get what he gets.